For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to this week's podcast. 2020 may be behind us now, but there is still plenty to be learned from the COVID-19 experience. Researchers at the Victorian Cancer Registry had an inkling that cancer pathology notifications were dropping every time the state went into COVID lockdown. And their study, published in the MJA, has proven them right. The question is, will there now be a surge in cases? And at what stage of disease will those cases present? Professor Sue Evans, Director of the Victorian Cancer Registry, and Dr. Luke Timovaldi, the Registry's Head of Data Analytics, are my special guests. Did you have an inkling that something was going on?
Yeah, I think what we found soon after we entered into the restrictions in Victoria, a drop off in cancer notifications coming through to the cancer registry. So by law, pathology labs and hospitals need to report cancer. So yeah, certainly very quickly after the lockdown was implemented, we saw a pretty sharp decline in those notifications coming through. So caused us some cause for concern.
Did you immediately know how you could go about digging a bit deeper into that? Luke, maybe you could talk about the design of the study a little bit.
Well, we played around with this a little bit because it's not very straightforward. So we looked at the pathology notification. So that's just one of the types of notifications that come to the registry. We also have hospital notifications and screening registers that add notifications to the Victorian Cancer Registry. And normally all these notifications are processed, and that takes quite a lot of time. We have, you know, like imagine to go through 200,000 notifications like in a year, basically, and that takes a lot of time. So we could wait for all those notifications to be processed and then present a number of diagnosed cases like in Victoria for the COVID period. But we already saw a big drop in the pathology notification. So that was a big driver of trying to figure out how we can attach a number to this, like the number of undiagnosed Victorians. What we've done is we looked at the pathology notifications in 2020, and normally what you would do is you would compare pathology notifications of 2020 with the pathology notifications in the previous year, for example, in order to see what the difference is. Couldn't really do that because our system has changed quite dramatically over the last 12 months, so we didn't have that similar data available. So what we've done is we extracted the seasonal pattern from the processed cancer incidence data, and we applied that to our 2020 pathology data. And that basically provided us with the expected number of pathology notifications throughout 2020. And then the only thing that we did there is then take the difference between what we observed and what we'd expected. And then we saw that we were 5,500 notifications short. So in order to translate the 5,500 pathology notifications that were missing into undiagnosed people, we have looked at within a given year, how many pathology reports do we get and how many new diagnoses do we have? And that, like, it appeared to be roughly 1 in 2. So for every cancer diagnosis, we receive about 2 or 2.2 pathology notifications. So you can sort of multiply, or you can divide the 5,500 by the 2.2 roughly, and you get to the 2,530 undiagnosed cancers that we've estimated.
Okay, so what you're saying is that because of the lockdown restrictions, well, are you saying that? Or are you just saying that in between April and December in 2020, while Melbourne and Victoria were in lockdown, there were about 2,500 fewer cancer diagnoses than you would have expected?
That's right. Between the period, like from the start of the lockdown up until mid-October, we estimate that there were 2,500 fewer cancer diagnoses compared to what we would expect.
And is it possible to say that that's specifically because of the lockdown conditions?
We don't really know that for sure, but if you look at the timing when the pathology notification started to decline, it was very much at the start of the Level 3 lockdown.
I'm chatting today with Sue Evans and Luke Timovaldi about cancer pathology notifications and the impact of COVID-19. Their research is available at mja.com.au and is, of course, open access. Check out our back catalogue of podcasts at mja.com.au/podcasts or you can subscribe to our feed via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Back to our chat. Sue, what do you think, what are your theories about why people stopped going to get these tests and going to get these diagnoses confirmed?
Well, we know, Kate, that the screening services did go through a period of closure. The breast screen did close for a little while there. And then that obviously would have impacted the number of notifications that we received. I think that we can't really, we'd be hypothesizing, you know, as to why we've seen this drop off. We do know that initially there were, you know, some issues with people getting to see their GPs, and certainly hospitals, you know, went into lockdown a bit too. So all of those things may have impacted the ability for people to actually get the test, the biopsies, other tests to diagnose the cancer. And also I suspect that probably people themselves were perhaps nervous about leaving the home, especially in the earlier stages when we were told to stay home. So I expect that probably had an impact as well, Kate.
What are the impacts for patients in delayed or missing diagnoses?
Well, what we can say is that the earlier a cancer is diagnosed, the easier it is to treat. We can't, from our data, understand at the moment whether the delay is going to result in people presenting with more advanced disease. We don't have that data at the moment, but hypothetically, if the delay did mean a later diagnosis and more advanced disease, then obviously that would have impact certainly on the treatment that people would be required to undergo and perhaps even survival.
Do you expect that there will be a surge in cancer cases in the next, 6 months, say?
We had expected that we would see, you know, a pretty sharp rebound after restrictions had eased. We have seen the decline reduce, but we certainly haven't seen a rebound yet. And I think that's why, you know, this paper hopefully will shed some light and perhaps make people aware that it is important that they have health checks, that they, if they've got concerns, that they do seek, you know, advice from their GP. And that will hopefully reduce any impact that we see going forward. But certainly at the moment we haven't seen, you know, a huge resurgence in cases coming through that we would have perhaps expected. It all sort of goes to the confidence that people have leave home. And what we found in the data, a little bit surprisingly, is that it seems to be men more than women who are, have got these missed, potentially missed diagnoses. So for some reason, perhaps, there's more nervousness amongst men to seek assistance.
Did prostate cancer figure high in the numbers that you were seeing?
Yes, it certainly is. Certainly accounts for almost a third of the missed diagnoses, or perhaps even higher than a third of the missed diagnoses.
But the high number of prostate cancers is not the reason why we conclude that there's a difference between males and females, because we restricted this analysis to only those cancers that are both happening in males and females. And therefore, within those common cancers, we saw that there were a lot more misdiagnoses in males compared to females.
Luke, what would you like to do in terms of further research into this?
That's a good question. We will keep monitoring this. We have been monitoring this since very much the start of COVID restrictions, and we will be monitoring this like on an ongoing basis. The whole COVID situation is a natural experiment almost. So we'll learn a lot about the healthcare system and choices that people make as a result of this.
I think one of the main things we want to look at is stage migration.
Yes, of course. So the next step that we want to do is once all the data is processed, we will have a good idea about the stage of diagnosis, and then we can actually have good insight in about whether the stage migration had happened, which means that we would expect, if there is a delay in cancer diagnosis, you could expect generally that people would present at a higher stage, so more advanced disease. But once all the data is processed, we will be able to see whether that's the case, and then we would have a good idea how this would impact survival.
Do Does it tell us anything for any future outbreaks? Is there something we could be doing to mitigate that hesitation to go and get tested during these kinds of situations?
Well, I think, this is all brand new to us, and it is worrying for people to think about even leaving the home back in March and April, May. And then, of course, we had the restrictions that came into play. I think that we've now learned a lot of lessons during COVID in how to manage those lockdowns and how to, to run telehealth. And I think telehealth's come a long way. It certainly, wasn't nearly as popular or used so extensively as it is now. So I think we've already learned a lot. In the future, I would hope that people are perhaps a little bit more confident to seek assistance when something like this happens.
I think in the future it's important right from the start to make people aware that if they have symptoms of anything, health related, that they keep visiting their GP. Like, it's not just cancer, it's also stroke and other diseases.
I think probably the main message and the reason that we, wanted to publish this work is to make it really clear to people that if they're worried about symptoms, that they should contact their GP. And if they've had an invitation to participate in any of the three screening programs, then they shouldn't delay, because we do know that cancer screening saves lives, and it's one of the most effective ways to detect the early signs of cancer when treatment success is much more likely.
Thank you both for your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts, or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.